Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Anyway, if you got your Bibles with me today, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to land in verse 25. And just to give you a little preface before we start getting into this passage of Scripture for you to understand is that this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's drawing some conclusions here. He's showing a picture or a metaphor between a marriage between a husband and a wife, a bride and a groom, and Jesus and his church. For many of you, you may not know this, but we are the bride of Christ, and he is our bridegroom. The church is the bride. And so you're going to, as you read through this, just try to see the parallels that Paul is trying to write about the church. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Praise God. "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church." So has everybody seen the parallel here that the Apostle Paul is trying to write? It says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined together with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Nevertheless, let each one of us, each one of you in particular, love his own wife as himself, and let his wife, let the wife see that she respects her husband." So today, this great parallel, this great picture between the church and us being the bride, today I want to talk to you on this topic or this thought, the church, the bride. The church, the bride. Let's pray today. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to be in your house today. God, we pray you would speak to us, you would lead us, you would guide us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us in revelation that we might be able to see the purposes of the church and how we fit into it. Lord, we love you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, if you love Jesus, give him a big round of applause before we move on any further. So I didn't really like necessarily grow up in church, but once I got saved, like I got saved when I became a Christian, a Jesus follower, when I was about 18, okay? And I joined like an internship program at a church, okay? Now this thing was fairly extreme, okay? Like I lived in church, like lived in church, like literally I lived at the church, okay? The church had a apartment complex that all the interns were housed in. I literally lived on campus, okay? And you would be surprised at the crazy stuff. I was in church every day of the week, okay? Like, it was just nonstop. Monday was 24/7 prayer day at the church, okay? 24 hours, 24-hour prayer every Monday, okay? And so they would, you know, the church would sign up, but how many of you know, not that many people are showing up at 1 a.m. to pray? Like, I don't care. You got to be really saved to be doing stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so inevitably, those midnight, you know, scenarios were always like the interns would cover it, right? So on Mondays, I would pray from 1 a.m. till 5 a.m. And yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. I made it through it. I did. I would venture to say I fell asleep a few times, okay? Don't judge me. But Monday, that's what Monday was. Tuesday was like food pantry day. We had a food pantry, okay? And I'm telling you what, the food pantry was crazy, okay? Like, it was like sometimes hand-to-hand combat. I had this lady jacked me up against the wall one day. Like, true story, like, you know, because, like, she didn't really like the food I gave her. And so I was like, okay, You want a box? You know, like, I don't know. But Tuesday, in church, food pantry day. Wednesday, youth. Thursday was a taste of new wine. Christian AA. Seriously, that's what it was called. And so we were always supposed to go to it, and I would go, and I'd be like, hey, how's it going? You know, like, you know, I'll share today, I guess. You know, lady almost beat me up at the food pantry last week. And so Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we would be preparing for church all day Sunday, and we'd start. Like, I lived in church. Like, I lived in church. And I got to thinking about that the other day, and I was thinking about it. And, you know, as good as that season was in my life where I feel like I was laying some really good spiritual foundations in my life, I was thinking about this. Too many times, I think we get busy doing church. Like, busy doing church. Like, we have a Bible study Monday or Tuesday or Thursday. Some of you are like, I don't go to one at all. We'd love for you to join a crew. But, like, we get just busy. We get busy doing church, and we don't understand that Jesus hasn't called us to do church. He's called us to be the church. And man, I look around and I see a lot of people that think they're doing the right things. Man, they're just busy doing Christian things. But there's a big difference between doing church and being the church. God wants us to be the church. See, the reason I found that a lot of people don't be the church is they don't fully understand what the church is. See, most people, if you asked them what a church was, they would go along with, like, dictionary.com's definition of what the church is. So if you Google the church, dictionary.com, it'll pop up, and one of the first definitions it'll give you is a building that is dedicated to religious ceremonies. A building, so think about this, a building that's dedicated to religious ceremonies. You know what? The unfortunate thing is the reason I think that that's their definition is because that's become the definition, honestly, inside the church. That church is a building. It's a place that I go to. The church isn't a place that you go to. The church isn't a place that you attend. You are the church. Me and you are the church. It is not something that we go to. It's a people that we are becoming. So, if we look at the church like a brick and mortar building, then this isn't a church. Just think about this for a minute. This isn't a church. Some of you are like, really? Yeah. No, this is the Thompson Alumni Center. Okay? This is for graduates of UNO to host shindigs or whatever. I don't know what they do. But this isn't a church. Like, this wasn't designed to be a church. It's not a church. But here's what I love. Here's what I love about our church is we may not have a building, but we got people. And when the people of God come under wherever they are, it doesn't matter, we're outside, inside, the people of God gather together under one name and one name only, this place becomes the church of Jesus Christ. The church isn't a place, it's a people. We are that people. So we can't get busy doing church things without being the kind of church that God wants us to be. See, the reality is that this true definition of what the church is, and I want to give this to you today, I would say this today, that the truest definition, if I could just give you a little insight here, comes from a Greek word that we're going to be unpacking several times over this series called ekklesia. Ekklesia. Can you say that 6 times fast? Ekklesia. Ekklesia. Some of you just cussing. Stop it. Ekklesia, and this is literally what the translation in the original Greek means. It means this. It means a group, the called out ones. The called out ones. So here's the picture. There's this mass of humanity, the good, the bad, the ugly. And we are Jesus' crew. We're Jesus' tribe that he's reached down and gave redemption to. And now we've been called out to be what? An influence in. So the picture is a group of people that have been called out, what? Not by accident, not by happenstance. Like, some of you think you wandered in here today, like, on, like, accident or because somebody. No. God's calling you out. He's calling people out. It's on purpose. Why? Because there is a great purpose for your life. But not only that, there's a great purpose for the church. the church. The called out ones, we also get words like this from it. Gathering. The gathering or assembly. Assembly. See, a lot of people have this perspective on church that, man, like, I love Jesus, but I really don't love the church. Or I don't really need to go to church to be a Christian. And I would honestly agree with that. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You don't. But why wouldn't you want to be? Like, why wouldn't you? What they're really saying is at some point somebody hurt me in church. So here's the reality is that for each one of us, we have to understand that the church only becomes the church when we gather together. When we gather together. Let me give you a working definition for myself that I think is really important for us to understand. The church is all true believers for all time. The gathering together of all true believers for all time. Can I tell you, this thing that we're a part of right now isn't a new idea. It's been going on for hundreds and thousands of years, since the beginning of time. In fact, the reality is, for each one of us to understand, is that the church didn't just start, or the idea of the concept of the church didn't start with just Jesus dying on the cross. No. The children of Israel were a picture of the church to come in the Old Testament. So the reality and the thing that you've got to understand in your world is simply this, that we are a part of something that is so much bigger than just this gathering. Like, you're a part of something. There is literally billions of believers that are gathered around the world. Today, probably around the world, a million people will come to Christ. And that is amazing, and that's awesome, and I love it so much. But here's the thing that I want everybody to understand is that we love My City Church, and I want this to be the best church it possibly can be. But I am not naive enough to think that this is the only plan God has. That there's hundreds of churches around this city that are great churches. They're awesome churches. They're reaching people. They're making a difference. And that's what I love about the church, is that there are different strokes for different folks. There's some people that would come into our church and they would not like it whatsoever. And that's okay. That's okay. Our job is to help them find one that they would really, really enjoy. But the reality is that when we shift our perspective and we begin to understand that we're a part of something really, really great, we have to come to a common understanding of what we're going to do about it. So here's what I mean by this is that people say, man, I love Jesus, and you know what, the church is okay, but I found that, you know, I just don't really want to get, like, involved in one. Like, I don't really have a problem with the church. I just don't really, really want to get involved in one. And here's the kind of people that we've got to be. We've got to understand that we're a part of something so much bigger than ourselves, so much greater than ourselves. And while we can love the idea of the church, we want to think globally. We want to act locally. So I would parallel it to this, is loving the church but not being rooted in a local church is like being married and saying, I love marriage, but not loving your wife. So I love marriage. I love the idea of marriage, but I don't really, really love my wife, because that's where the real rub comes in, right? It's great to love an idea. Yeah, people gathering together, celebrating Jesus, people giving their lives to Christ. The real rub is what? Belonging in the middle of it. Because why? The church is full of people. And sometimes people don't treat people well. So that's where the real rub is. It's like, I'm married, but I just really don't like my wife. The real work is, it's going, you know what? I'm going to think globally, but I'm going to act locally. I'm going to plug myself into something. I'm going to get planted into something. Why? Because here's why. When God's great plan, the church, and people get planted in it, this place becomes an embassy for heaven. A lot of people don't really want to, like, I don't really like the church. Well, you're going to hate heaven. You're going to hate it. Like, because guess what heaven's going to be? The church. The people of God. The people of God. So the real rub is can I work through my own issues? Can I forgive? Can I let people be a little out of line every once in a while? Can I let somebody be a little rude to me every once in a while? Why? Like, that's like going into marriage thinking you're not going to have any problems. It's crazy. Like, if you're thinking about getting married, it's going to be the hardest thing that you've ever done. And it's going to be the best thing that you've ever done. I just think that that's such a picture of church, man. There's going to be times where showing up and being consistent and giving and serving is going to stretch you. It's going to challenge you. Somebody's going to be, I just want to promise to you somewhere, somebody in this room will be rude to you at some point. Let's just remove that. If you're looking for a perfect church, we used to be one and then you showed up. Oh, snap. Throwing jabs. Okay. I'm joking. But that's the reality. Like, I promise you, this place is made up of people, and people have bad days, and people aren't perfect, and there's going to be struggle. There's people that are going to do things to you that may not be the most pleasant, but that's where the real challenge is. Am I just going to be in love with a big idea, or am I going to think locally? Am I going to plant myself in the local church? See, when we do that, like I said, heaven will be is the church. It's the expression of the church worshiping God. Like, that's what heaven's going to be. And so when we gather together in this place, we become like an embassy of heaven. Let me illustrate this to you. If I go to China and I get myself into some trouble, right? And I run to the U.S. embassy, as soon as I get there, what? Every right that I have right here standing on this platform is present in that embassy. Safety, protection, guarding, protecting, everything. Why? Because what? That embassy is America. Is America. Can I tell you what the picture of the church is? The church is the embassy of heaven. That's what it's designed to be, that everything is in heaven. Like, this is a place where miracles can happen. This is a place where people can love and encounter the presence of God. This is a place where people can find friends that last a lifetime. This is supposed to be a picture of heaven. The question is, will we become the church? See, if you're looking for a church to attend that will feel like that, you'll never find it. If you're looking for a place to sow your life into, to invest into, to go the extra mile in, to what? Make the effort to plant yourself. You know what? This place very well could become the embassy of heaven in your life. Come on, if you believe that today, give me a good amen. See, the real reality for each one of us is, you know, will we love and honor the church? You know, one of the things that I so love about the church is really, I think one of the most important things that we can do is to fully understand why the church was created, why the church was birthed. Because if you don't understand why a thing was made, you'll misuse the thing. And so the primary, if you're taking notes, the primary purpose of the local church, above all things, before it is anything else, we are here to minister to God. We're here to worship God, to show love and adoration to God, to lift up the name of Jesus, to show thankfulness, to show gratitude. One of my passions that will like light my fire is reaching out to people who don't know Jesus. It was the greatest thing that has ever happened to me, but before that is my primary purpose, I am first a worshiper. Before I am a servant, before I am anything, I am a worshiper. We gather together to bring worship to the house of God. We don't wait for the worship team to kind of like whatever. You know what? I think if people would get this revelation, we'd never be late to church. That's why we do praise and worship up front, is because we're setting the priorities of the church. Our primary purpose as a church is to lift up the name of Jesus, to make a big deal out of who he is. Because why? When we lift him up, he promised he would draw all men unto himself. When we move towards him, he comes and he ministers to us. See, when we pursue God, he responds to us. The primary purpose of the church is to worship. And I just think, man, like, I would just encourage you, man, make every effort to get here on time. Don't let somebody steal one-third of the purpose of the church out of your life. Like, I'm gonna bring worship. I'm ready. I had a bad week this week. I'm going to shrug it off because why? God deserves my best. I promise you come with that kind of attitude, you're going to find a purpose in the church like you've never found before. The primary purpose is to worship and to lift up the name of Jesus, okay? The primary, second thing that the church was created for was to minister to believers. So for all of you that believe in Jesus, One of the primary roles of the church is to minister to your life. Now, I want to define for you quickly what the Bible says that's to actually look like. It's also found in the book of Ephesians, but Paul said this, that the primary role of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, what is he saying? He's saying the leadership of the church. The primary role of the leadership of the church, so we could translate to the primary role of the church, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So this isn't a place to just feel good or to think it's cool. You know what I mean? Like, I get that all the time. Like, I get people come to church and like, we really like you. You're funny. You shout a lot, but it's okay. I get excited, okay? And they're like, hey, but you, I mean, you dress cool. You got skinny jeans. My old pastor was kind of old and da-da-da. And I'm like, whoa. You're missing the whole point. Being a part of church isn't about being a part of something cool, although we don't want it to not be cool. But that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose as a believer is to come into God's church going, God, I pray that you would speak to me, that you would give me tools, resources. Why? When I leave this place, I can go out into the world and make a difference. So we always want to be a church that's building believers. We want to be a church that's building leaders. But then thirdly, the final purpose of the church is to minister to the world. So what begins in this room as we gather under the name of Jesus and he comes and responds isn't just to, it's not just to put our life back together. It's to help put our life back together. Why? So we can go out and make a difference. I've just found in my life, man, if I'm missing one of these categories in my world, when I look through the lens of church, I'm going to get frustrated. If I didn't come to church to worship, whether I feel like it or not, whether I feel like I got joy in my life or not, I've come to bless the name of the Lord. When I bring that to me, you know what I've found is that not only will I get ministered to, but I'll begin to build strong faith. And I begin to look at what can I take out of this message to apply to my life that I can go walk out. And that not only that, but who can I do it with in this room? How can I come together so what I can be equipped to make my life impactful on planet Earth. And then when I leave this place, listen, our mission field didn't start when we walked in this room. It starts when we walk out those doors. And so when we get these the purpose of the church properly aligned and we understand it, now we begin to know how to function inside of it. See, this is what I love about the church is all throughout the Bible, there's these different metaphors, these different things that God uses to give us a picture of the church. And we're going to be covering those over the next few weeks. But the first one is that God parallels the church to the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Just like your body, each and every one of you, some of you are like elbows. Don't call me an elbow. We're all different parts of the body, but how many of you know your body doesn't function right without all the parts? Like, if you don't believe me, just take off your pinky toe on your foot. It's the smallest little part of your body, but you get rid of it and you're going to walk weird. You're going to have to relearn how to walk because why? Every part of the body matters. So God is showing this picture between the body and the church. But he's also doing this. He also does this illustration between the church and a building. And here's the primary thing that you got to understand is that that's where like a lot of it is we think about this building like this building is the church. No, the Bible actually correlates the building aspect or the illustration of the church as that we are the bricks and mortar of the church, that we are being built together brick by brick, piece by piece. As we lay down our lives, God builds a house that he's really at home in. That's the picture of the church. But finally, there's this last metaphor that we're going to try to look at today, and it's called the bride. The bride. The bride. That we are, as the church, the bride of Christ. And all the dudes said, that's weird. Don't call me a bride. But yeah, it's this picture of them being us being the bride of Christ. And now the thing that we got to understand is that one of the things that I love about my marriage, and we've been married for 10 years last month. 10 years that month. I don't know how you survived. I literally don't know it by the grace of God, right? But I I got to thinking the other day when people always tell me, oh, Pastor Jesse, like, I love you. You're great. You're whatever. They, you know, always trying to connect with me after church and all this kind of stuff. And I love that. But if somebody came up to me and said, Pastor Jesse, I really love you. I just don't really like your wife. You want a box, dude? You want to throw down? Because why? We're the same thing. You can't love me and not love my bride. Or guess what? I'm not going to love you. Because to not love her is to not love me, and to not love me is to not love her. We are one in the same. You know what I hear people do all the time is they say, man, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Friends, we are the bride of Christ. The reality is you can't love church without loving Jesus. And you can't really love Jesus without loving the church. See, the picture is that we are the bride of Christ. You know what? And there is things that come along with being the bride of Christ that is so important. This illustration about Christ laying down his life for us. Then for us to what? Honor and respect him back with our praise, with our worship. See, it's this picture of how God builds his church. And there's really three things that I believe that are promised to us throughout this passage of scripture that are relevant to us being the church. That when we become a part of the church and we live out and we be the church, that there are certain things that come along really even in our marriages that are promised to us as believers. And the first one is this. It's simply this. Protection. Protection. Like, there is something significant in our world when we say, hey, you know what? We are going to plant ourselves in the house of God. We are going to be the church. We're going to think globally, but we're going to act locally. The book of Psalms in chapter 92, verse 19, says this, those that are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of our God. There is this protection that comes over our lives when we are engaging and we are acting out as the bride of Christ. You know, I remember when me and Angela first got married, I think we were maybe year two of our marriage, right? And we were in Council Bluffs, and we were driving around, and nothing against Council Bluffs, okay? So, and so we were driving around, and Quickie Mart. Quickie Mart. It was a gas station. It was a Buc-ee's. That's what it was. It was a Buc-ee's. And it was a Buc-ee's. And we went to Buc-ee's, and I'm getting out of the car. And actually, I was in the car, and Angela gets out to go in and get something. Now, I see these two guys over here standing outside their car, okay? And I'm kind of glancing over there, and I thought he said something to her as she walked in. And I seen him look at his friend and, point at her butt. And so I'm, at a 4 right now on a scale to 1 to 10, okay? My blood's starting to boil, okay? The guy's looking at me like he knows. Like, I got my hand like this, married. I will destroy you. You know what I mean? And Angela walks out of the car, out of the gas station, and this dude starts saying inappropriate things to her. Pastor or not, how many of you know your boy was ready to fight? And I don't really care what you think about that. Listen, you mess with my bride, I'm going to turn into Jean-Claude Van Damme on you. I got out of the car, dude, and I started pushing this dude around, and I was in his face, and I was, for all the dudes, if you're not a fighter, it's okay. You just work with what God gave you. I didn't want to punch him and go to jail, so I'm beating on the hood of his car like a gorilla, I'll kill you. What is going on right now? And he's him and his dude's dude, bro, sorry, man, we didn't know. I'm you knew. I'll kill you. They get in a car and they drive off. And I get in the car, and my wife looks at me, and she goes, you are so hot. And I said, praise, yes, I am. Thank you very much. I like in the car shaking, like, oh, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm a lover. You know, it's a funny story, but I got to thinking about it today. Can I tell you that's how Jesus feels about his church? That's how Jesus feels about his church, is he's a protector. He's looking out for you. And when you stay consistent, it's just amazing to me how I've watched this kind of happen in people's worlds. Their world kind of turns upside down, right? And so they start coming to church. They come to church, and God starts putting it back together. And then a little bit later, they start feeling pretty good about themselves, right? They quit coming back. And they move out of protection again. And then all of a sudden, like, things start falling apart. Listen, friends, I want to tell you today, you don't have to step out of God's protection. There is an authority that comes with part of being a part of a local church where God surrounds you with protection. And let me tell you, if some dude wants to mess with you in the parking lot, they're going to have to answer to Jesus. I would rather live my life surrounded by God's grace and God's protection in my life. But that's not the only thing it is that for me as a husband, like, my job is to lay down my wife, my life for my wife. My job is to, what does it say? It says, each part of the body, you don't treat your own body badly. You provide for it. You protect it. You look after for it. And that's what Jesus wants you to understand is that he's never against you. He's always trying to provide for you. That there is this beautiful protection that surrounds our life, but there's also this beautiful provision that enters into our life when we're a part of a local church. It's amazing to me. I don't say this a whole lot because I try not to be that guy that's like the money guy. You know what I mean? I promise you, this is one of the promises in the Bible. The Bible says to start tithing, to test God, in it, and watch that he won't open up blessing over your life. What's the prerequisite? It's not that God needs your money. It's that you're seeing yourself no longer as somebody who attends church, but you're seeing yourself as the church. So if I don't sow, this place doesn't move forward. If this place doesn't move forward, heaven doesn't invade earth. People don't get reached. So you know what? I'm going to take whatever I can do, and I'm going to invest it into what God's doing. Why? And it's amazing. When that simple thing, planting, becoming the church, it's like blessing opens up over our life. Opens up over our life. And I want you to experience the provision of God in your life. Man, me and Angela have had too many stories and too many times. Like, I'm sitting in a service. We just moved halfway across the country. We barely had anything to our name. We had a little bit of money and savings. And I'm sitting in a church service, and they're taking up an offering, and I'm on, oh, and I start feeling God working on me. And I'm like, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. And God said, hey, I want you to give everything you got in your savings. I want you to just give it all. Get behind me, Satan. You know, like, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I ain't doing it unless you tell Angela. I'm a real spiritual man. And so we're sitting there in this church service, and Angela looks over at me, and she's crying. I'm like, no, 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 no. And she goes, so she kind of like pitches the idea to me, like, God, Jesse, I think we're supposed to give quite a bit in this. And I'm like, really? How much are you thinking? Seeing if God's really talked to her too, you know? And I'm like, how much are you thinking? She's like, I think we're supposed to give everything we got in our savings. I'm like, okay. And we sat there and we prayed together and we wrote a check. And you know what? That year was one of the most financially prosperous years for us that we've ever experienced. Here's the reality. I don't think it had anything to do with me giving to get. I don't give to get. I give because I'm grateful. And I begin to look and I said, hey, we just moved here. This is our home church. It was our first Sunday there. I said, you know what? I'm going to plant myself in this. I'm going to invest. I'm going to give something. God, I'm going to trust you to be a provider. And let me tell you, God has never failed me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. But it happens when we say, hey, I'm not going to attend church. I'm going to be the church. I'm going to be the church. And finally, here's the thing that's awesome is that the other day we had our credit card get hijacked. Anybody ever had that happen? We had somebody like running up like $1,000 charges in Bangladesh. And so Chase called us and they're like, hey, is this you? And I'm like, yes, I've been in every city in Asia in the last 45 minutes. You know, like, And so we were like, you know, working through that. And I don't do well like on those kind of conversations. That's like Angela's world. But it was my card. It was my card with my name on it. And they start asking her like, well, ma'am, like, we actually need to speak to Mr. Norman. And she's like, but I'm his wife. And they just wouldn't listen. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't listen. And she goes, sir, my name is Angela Norman. Jesse is my husband. What is his is mine, and what is mine is his. How dare you not talk to me on the phone? I'm like, girl, my goodness, she's getting feisty. And they still wouldn't deal with her, but they actually still had to give me the phone. But the principle is the same, right? When you're married, everything that's mine becomes hers, and everything that's hers becomes mine. How much more do we have something to celebrate that everything that is Jesus's, all the blessing, all the sonship, all the authority that's in heaven, now is ours, and what is ours is his? And I just believe this with all my heart. I believe this with all my heart. There's some people in here today that you need to understand what your rights are as the church. You have the right. You have the authority. You have the privilege to walk with Jesus in everything that he has. And so when we show up to church, the Bible says that we are to enter the throne room of grace with boldness. With boldness. Why? Because what's his is mine, and what's mine is his. You have rights because you are the bride of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. And today, there's some people in here today that, like, you're hearing this for the very first time, and really you're like, man, to be honest with you, Pastor Jesse, my life just really isn't right with God. I don't think I have a relationship with God. And here's the picture of salvation. The picture of salvation is the wedding ceremony that introduces you into a brand new life called the church. And the reality of all of that is that in a moment, we can what? Understand that Jesus has already made every commitment towards us. He's given everything. He's given us his life. He's given us all of his blessing. What is separating us right now is our response back to him. See, a great marriage is not built off of one committed person. It's built off of two people that are 100% in and 100% whole. And the reality is that that's what salvation is going to God and going, God, I know what you've done for me. Sign me up. I'm ready to give my life to you. And with every head bowed and every eye closed in here today, if you're in this place and you realize, man, my life is not right with God, and you need to get it right now, and you're saying, Pastor Jesse, I want a relationship with Jesus. Right now is your moment to say yes, to say, Jesus, I'm with you. I'm walking this thing out with you. And if you're in this place and, man, you realize right now you got maybe some sin in your life, some problems, some struggles, you just feel an absence of God. And right now is your moment to enter back into a relationship with him. If that's you, on the count of three, I want to ask you to lift up your hand high enough and long enough, because I want to pray a special prayer with you, and I want to be able to see who I'm praying with today. If that's you today, on the count of three, lift up your hand. One, two, three. If that's you all over this place, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. So many hands. I see your hand, man. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. So many hands. So many hands all over this place. If you got your hand up, you can put it down. I'm going to ask everybody in this room to pray this prayer after me out loud as a sign and a support to everybody who just raised their hand. And let's pray today. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. So right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present, and I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Come on, can we celebrate everybody who just prayed that prayer?
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.